listening to the Bronco Report Podcast, featuring the latest news and opinions on Boise State athletics. Brought to you by the Idaho Press Tribune. Keep it here at BlueTurfSports.com for up-to-the-minute coverage of the Boise State Broncos. Now, here's Boise State beat writer B.J. Raines for another edition of the Bronco Report.
Greetings, Boise State fans. Welcome to another edition of the Bronco Legends Podcast. It's part of the Bronco Report Podcast Network here at BlueTurfSports.com. My name is BJ Raines, Boise State beat writer for the Idaho Press Tribune, BlueTurfSports.com. And really excited, this is episode number 2 of the Bronco Legends Podcast. Our first episode was Brian Harsin, the current coach at Boise State. You can listen to that interview by subscribing to iTunes or Google Play. It's also available online at BlueTurfSports.com under the podcast page. That's where you can subscribe so you can hear the future episodes like this one. If you're listening online, make sure you please subscribe, comment, and like us and rate us and all that good stuff. iTunes and Google Play are the two areas that we have the podcast for you for your Android phone or for your iPhone. You can have it downloaded straight to your tablet, your smartphone, your iPad, whatever. It's so easy. Listen in the car, listen on the way to work, listen at the gym. I love listening to podcasts when I'm at the gym, just out and about doing errands. So we recommend that's the way to listen to this podcast. Please just subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. Just the link is at BlueTurfSports.com, or you can also just search for Bronco Legends Podcast. I mentioned we're excited about this episode. Chris Peterson, the former Boise State coach. Everybody knows the accolades. Won 2 Fiesta Bowls at Boise State. 92-12 record with the Broncos. Had the undefeated seasons. Just an incredible run for Chris Peterson at Boise State. Finally left after the 2013 season to go up to Seattle to coach the Washington Huskies. So really excited to have Chris Peterson as this week's guest. We've got Kellen Moore coming up in the future, Jared Zebranski. A lot of great interviews on tap in future weeks. We're really excited about this. A new episode every Monday with a former Boise State player or coach. We're starting out with some football guests. We're going to get into some basketball, some other sports as well. But every Monday, actually, I guess Sunday at midnight slash early Monday morning, a new episode will drop. And again, Brian Harsin was episode 1. And this is episode 2 with Chris Peterson. Really excited to bring you Coach Pete. A lot of good stuff and a side of Coach Pete maybe you haven't heard in 30-plus minutes that he gave us of his time. And that's what we're excited about with these interviews. They're not short, you know, 5, 10, 12-minute interviews that you'll hear on the radio. Our goal here with this podcast is to get you 25, 30, 35, 40-minute, you know, long-form interviews and really let dive into some topics with some of these folks that you want to hear from. So go online, subscribe, rate. Really appreciate it. And without further ado, episode 2 of the Bronco Legends Podcast, former Boise State coach, current Washington coach, Coach Pete, Chris Peterson. Coach, about to start your 5th year, year 5 up there in Washington already. Is that pretty hard to believe?
Very much so. It's, you know, we always say, you know, the days are long around here, but the time is short. And I think that epitomizes it. It's hard to believe it's going on 5 years. You know, it goes fast. I think the older we get, the faster it goes.
What, I mean, back-to-back New Year's 6 bowl games, obviously, you make the playoff in 2016. I mean, is this, I don't know if you had a master plan or a 5-year plan or something, but I mean, do you have the program kind of where you want it to be at this point up there at Washington?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I don't think we're ever where we want to be. I mean, it is a fight every day. I mean, it's so competitive, and there's so many people involved, and you know, you have to have your best every single day when you come in here. And it's really, you know, year-round. I mean, this is just so, it's intense and it's year-round and there's no days off for the most part. And so I don't think we even kind of think we got this thing where we want it. We just continue to fight to move the needle. And, you know, hopefully at the end of the day when it's all said and done, we look up and go, you know, we can compete with the best of the best.
I'm curious, Coach, you know, now that you've experienced something else, being away from Boise State for 4 years, does it kind of give you some more appreciation maybe for what you were able to accomplish during your time at Boise State?
Well, Boise is such an awesome, unique place. I mean, that's what I've said. I've been so blessed to be able to be at a couple really unique, awesome places. And, you know, obviously Seattle and Boise couldn't be more different. But it's such a good, cool way. You know, Boise is the people there, just the university, the athletic program. it's unique. It just is. It's different. And so there's so much about it that I appreciate, that I think back on, that I miss. And then to be in the situation that I'm in now, I could use the same words. It's unique. It's different. It's, you know, it's all those things. But they're, they're both like, football is important at both places. And the people really care about what's going on. And they really want to help you do well. And I think that's such a, you know, important theme wherever you are, whatever you're going to do. You just need, you know, life and sports, there are teams, you know, it's a team game, and you can't do this alone. And you got to have a lot of really good people surrounding you that are passionate about what you're doing. And I can say that about both places.
When you'll probably do it when you retire, you know, have more time to reflect and stuff. But when you look back at the 8 years in Boise, I mean, 92-12, the two Fiesta Bowl wins, what, I know everybody points to those two games and stuff. I mean, what kind of stands out to you when you just think about your 8 years at Boise State as the head coach?
I don't think about it as 8 years, and I don't think about the record like that. I think I was there almost 14 years.
Sure.
And, you know, I was just part of that program that, you know, we were able to do some really great things. You know, we were able to keep moving the needle and keep getting better and keep improving. And, you know, I felt like that from the first day I was there in 2001 till the day I left. And whether I was an assistant or the head coach, you know, I never thought about it any different. I was just part of the Boise machine and just was doing everything we could do to keep getting better and make people proud and put out good work. And that's how I really think about it. I don't think of any one game. Everybody wants to talk about the Fiesta Bowl or a couple Fiesta Bowls. I think about some of the tight games that we won playing back in Tulsa and some, like, obscure games that people don't think about to allow us to get to, you know, that program to that level. And but really, at the end of the day, I just think about all the people, and I think about all the awesome kids that we got to coach and players, and, you know, still staying in touch with those guys to this day.
What are some of those crazy games? The Tulsa game, I think you had some good one, a good one with San Jose once. Are there any others, those crazy obscure games that you do, that do stick out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tulsa and San Jose State, and really, I mean, you know, that we played, like, I think we played football on every night of the week.
Wow.
If it wasn't every night, there was one we missed. And we didn't like it until we started kind of getting into it, and we would have many buys. And then the other thing that we saw is we were always on TV, and then our guys were playing well and winning, and we could see how that was moving our program forward and our brand forward. And so all those type of unique things that we, you know, halftime, we didn't even know what we were getting ourselves into, but it was turning out good for us. And so, you know, it's those type of things. It's games that we might have broke open in the fourth quarter that weren't close, but they were for three quarters, and winning tight games down in La Tech and having to travel to Rusta, Louisiana, and, you know, the difficulties with all those. I mean, those are great memories, but those were like, we had to struggle through to get those things done, and hats off to those kids for making it happen.
I got to ask you, Coach, about Kellen Moore. You know, he's going into the Boise State Hall of Fame, 50-3 record. Everybody knows the stats and everything. From your perspective as a coach, how special was he, and I guess why was he so special?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, we'd have to talk a long time to really tell, you know, all why he was so special. But, you know, he's just. I think when you know, talking about a guy like this, I mean, he's just a unique person, you know. You're not going to get, like, really great things done in life or in sports unless, I really think, at the end of the day, like, it starts with the type of person you are, because that carries into your, like, how you're going to work, how you're going to treat your teammates, how you're going to improve. Like, you got to be really, like, a cool person, just an elite person, which I think he is. And so he came in as a skilled player, super underestimated by everybody, but playing for his dad, who was such a great coach, he was much further along than most quarterbacks coming in. And then he was just relentless in the process of getting better and working. And, you know, he was kind of a man of few words. So when he spoke, everybody paid attention, all of his teammates and all those things. And, you know, I mean, he was a master of the system. You know, he just mastered the system that we had, and he made it work to a T, and, you know, just did a great job with the talent that was surrounded him, which was pretty good.
He's obviously going into coaching now, going to be the quarterback's coach there with the Cowboys. How do you think he's going to be as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knew, you know, for a long time, he's going to be a great coach, you know. So that's, I mean, I think they talked about, you know, Kellen as a player, and I can't wait to see Kellen as a coach. You know, I think everybody just knew that being his blood from where he comes from and the type of, like, cerebral player that he was, that you knew, you know, that was going to happen down the line. And it's so awesome that I, you know, got to be around Kirby more. And you know, when he's coaching, not only as a player, but then coach for us over here, and now he's down at Fresno State. So, you know, everybody's talking about Kellen coaching, and we've already got the other Moore coaching, and both those guys are going to do a tremendous job. I mean, because they're just such good people, and they're so smart, and they care about others, and they care about, like, getting better and that state of constant improvement and all those things. And so I think Kellen's going to – he'll do whatever he wants to do in the business.
I'm curious, Coach. You mentioned Kellen. You know, everybody talks about the Ian Johnsons, the Austin Pettis, I mean, all the star players that you coached during your time at BSU. But were there any – you mentioned the obscure games. Were there any obscure players or maybe players that weren't the headline star players that were really important to some of your teams and guys that were favorite players of yours over the years?
Well, I mean, you could go – I mean, the list is endless, to tell you the truth. It really is. I mean, you know, you got these guys like Andrew Browning, you know, that was a walk-on, that was a 3- or 4-year starter that was, like, as good as anybody we had there. You got Scott Huff, you know, that would have, in my opinion, been a pro player had he been maybe another inch taller. He probably would have been a pro player anyways if his knees just didn't wear out. I mean, just really, really good. You got the Derek Schumanns, who's, you know, coaching there now. I always said that that guy was the most unique tight end I've ever been around. Just so explosive, so competitive. That, you know, sometimes with skilled guys, they're not hidden guys. You go to the, you know, the linebackers and the D line and some of the O linemen, those type of guys. And, you know, Andy Avalos. I mean, you know, his name's out there more because he's coaching and all those things. But that guy was a heart and soul player for us as a, you know, back in the day that was really moving the needle. And, you know, you could go on and on and on. I really could about all those guys. I mean, there's just so many guys that, you know, poured their heart and soul into it. They were so good. I think they maximized their potential. You know, T.J. Akery. You know, as a receiver, you know, knowing that, well, who? You know, I mean, he did really great things for us. I think he was a walk-on as well. And, you know, we had those walk-ons that played in the NFL from Matt Paradis to Jeff Poutier. And, you know, that's all the guys in between, too. I mean, there were just so many kids that just, like, were so into what we were doing, and they just played so well and were great teammates. That's what I think about at Boise.
Any regrets, Coach, or anything during your 8 years you wish you had done differently during your time at Boise State?
No, not at all. I mean, I could look back at certain decisions, you know, and you always want to, you know, nobody's going to not think, oh, I wish I had a do-over on some of that stuff, but not regrets. You know, I think that's one of the worst things in life is to be able to really regret something. And I think a lot of times, you know, it's from, like, not being all in and giving everything that you have. Those are the regrets you want to stay away from. You know, if you made educated decisions and you really thought things out and, you know, you played and competed and coached as hard as you possibly could, you know, there's nothing to regret. I mean, even if it didn't turn out exactly like we wanted or thought it would. But I think, you know, we talk to our players all the time around here about that word regret. I mean, that's one of the worst things in life is to be able to regret things. And I think there's a difference between, you know, tweaking things and, yeah, if I had to do that one over, I do. But regret is such a big word. And as long as you're all in and you're passionate about what you're doing and doing everything in your power to be the best you can be, there's nothing to regret. And I think that's what we were doing over there at that time.
I'm curious, Coach, 2011, you guys, you know, you had the whole issue with the university and the sanctions and stuff, and you lost some scholarships and practice time and stuff. Looking back at that, what were your thoughts on that whole deal?
Yeah, I thought that was, like, a lot of garbage, you know, I really did. There was nothing that we thought we were doing wrong. I mean, every single thing that went through there, we ran through compliance. And compliance said we were fine. And so that doesn't mean, like, you know, you make a mistake, we were all wrong. But there was no maliciousness. Nobody was trying to cheat whatsoever. And all we can do is go through compliance. And so, you know, whatever, the compliance staff isn't, we don't have enough help, didn't know a rule or two. There should be punishment for that. There's no question. You guys, I mean, it's our job to know the rules. We get that. But just, you know, for like those that take three scholarships away, you know, it's the same sanctions that some of these programs that have done like major things were getting. And it's like, this makes no sense. And so, like I say, there's nothing, in my opinion, like the players and the coaches, there was no regretting because we thought we were doing the right thing. We just didn't know. And then for the NCAA, you see what's going on in the real, you know, in the real football world, and we would get docked, you know, three scholarships and all that. I mean, it that was a frustrating one to have to. Have to take that.
I'm curious, Coach, your thoughts on Gene Blamire, and obviously did a ton for the university, heck, going back to the blue field and everything, and I know it kind of ended unceremoniously for him because of all this. What were just your thoughts on Gene and what he meant to the university and the program?
Yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, he was so, you know, he was, you talk about a guy moving the needle forward, you know. I mean, how you thought that, who would have thought that the blue turf is going to be as famous as anything in college football? And then just his knack for, you know, I think hiring coaches and being able to continue to progress the program and, you know, develop the, you know, the boosters and the people that help move the needle forward. I mean, so much of that was him for such a long period of time that I think a lot of our hats are off to him.
What was your biggest challenge at BSU, Coach? I mean, you obviously won a lot of games and stuff, but there was, what was just to keep that thing going, like you said, and keep the needle moving in the right direction as those before you had done, things like that. What was your biggest challenge? What was the hardest thing about, you know, just that time there at Boise State?
Yeah, I never really thought about, like, I mean, everywhere you go, you have these challenges. Like, this business we're in is really hard and challenging, but any super competitive business is going to be like that. It doesn't matter if we're talking about selling cars or running your own, you know, consulting firm or coaching football. I mean, it's, you're always going to have challenging. So I never thought about it like this is our biggest, this is our hardest thing. You know, I mean, I just kind of felt like we had the same challenge as everybody else does in the game. We, you know, we got to figure out how to recruit great kids, and we got to figure out how to, you know, put the best product forward. And I think we were always doing that, moving the needle. And you could just always feel the program growing and the fan base growing. And I always felt great about all those things. I think the biggest thing probably over there, looking back and even now, is expectations. And I always say this, I mean, we expected to win all of our games, and we didn't. Nobody was more crushed than the people in the football offices and in the locker room. But it's also, it's almost unrealistic that you're going to win all your games all the time. And when you didn't, it would be a little bit like, oh, it's kind of disappointing. And it's like, well, you know, welcome to the real world. You don't win all the time in the real world.
Oh, sure. And I know Coach Harsin's deals with that every day now, too. What was it about BSU, Coach, that just kept you there as long as you did? I mean, you had so many other opportunities. Well, why did you continue to say no for so long?
Yeah, I just felt like there was just business to take care of there. I just always felt like there was the next thing to get done. And I never felt like, you know, the whole time there, it's just like I felt like I was growing, I was learning, we were progressing. I had so much to do there. And really, it wasn't towards the very end that I actually felt like, what is the next thing for me to do? Like, it was the first time it ever hit me, like, has it run its course for me here? And I think that's a long time to be at one place, and I was really excited about that. And I, you know, I was always like, man, I wonder if I could stay at a place really long and for a long period of time. I took that as a badge of honor to be able to win enough games to stay in one place, to stay energized and, you know, to be creative, to keep, you know, growing and developing the program and myself and everybody that's associated with it. And so I always felt like that. And it wasn't until the very end, probably like that, you know, the last, I don't know, half a year that I was there. And it wasn't until the Washington situation came up that I kind of started comparing, like, you know, is this a time? And I kind of felt like it would be healthy for myself and for Boise State if I went somewhere else, for somebody else to take it to the next step, and for me to have to go reinvent myself and our process and get it going somewhere else.
I'm curious, Coach, there were so many other rumors and, you know, the last 3 or 4 years before that, so many other opportunities. Which one intrigued you the most before you ended up going to Washington?
Yeah, there was one or two that I think were interesting, but the timing just wasn't right. And to me, they're not even worth talking about it unless you leave for it. So, you know, I mean, anytime you win a bunch, and it's not just me, I mean, our staff, I mean, our coaches had opportunities. We had those opportunities, but it was like, to me, they weren't better than where we were. I mean, the one thing that I know in life, the grass is not always greener. Everybody thinks, you know, that's a better situation. All you're doing is trading one set of problems for another. I mean, that's basically the bottom line. And at that point for me, I was ready for a new set of problems. You know, just to kind of to get the creative juices going again. And I kind of needed that. And, you know, it was a combination of, you know, a time to challenge. You know, it's a timing thing. It really is. It's a unique opportunity, maybe somewhere that you've always admired. And then a timing thing. And that's what it was for me to come to Washington.
Getting that game out of the way in 2015 when you came back to Boise, just do you think for the fans, for you, for everybody, do you think it was good just to have that and kind of move past that? And you know, do you still kind of follow BSU from afar when you can?
Well, I do, you know, because of the coaches. I still know so many of the coaches and, you know, the administrators, and Kurt Apsey and Chrissy Van Tol and, you know, everybody, oh, Gabe Rosenbaum. I mean, love those guys. I mean, those people, they're awesome, you know. So, of course, I follow them. Coach Harst, I mean, we go way back, and Andy Avalos, and, you know, Gabe, I mean, I can go on, all those guys, Lee Marks, they played for us, so I do follow it. Yeah, so, I mean, that's really important for me to, you know, I can be a fan. That's what's fun. I'm a fan that understands.
Sure.
Those are rare, you know. Those are rare. So I really am a fan of everybody and what they're doing over there, but I also get the, you know, how hard it can be over there.
Well, looking back at it, though, that game in 2015, how weird was that, or just kind of putting that behind you and the fact that it happened so soon?
That was miserable. That's the worst game that I've ever, you know, really had to be a part of. Like, I didn't like that at all. One, not so much for the coaches that I was competing against, because, you know, at this point in my career, I know coaches on just about every sideline, and you got friends on the other side. You can put that aside for a few hours. But when the whole team, you know, 90% of that team that you recruited there, and then you come in with new guys, yeah, I didn't like that at all. That was very painful. You know, us building this program, we didn't have it where we wanted it. And then to have to also go compete against kids you really, you know, really care about, I didn't like that game at all. I was glad when that whole thing was over.
I'm curious, Coach, just a couple more here, but you mentioned, you know, all the former coaches, and you look at the coaching tree now around the country of former Boise State players, whether it be Mike Sanford, you've obviously got Bush up there, and Marcel, and Clayton Adams down at Colorado, and Dinwiddie's coaching in the CFL. I mean, you look at the coaching tree, whether it be players, coaches, just those that have associated themselves with BSU and what they're doing now. What's that like, just to see that the growing tree of, you know, you look at the Pac-12, heck, you get, what, one-fourth of the Pac-12 coached or played at BSU, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think, you know, those guys have kind of figured out, you know, what this coaching thing's all about and the impact and the, you know, the bonds that you create in this business are so strong and powerful. And then you have a certain way of, you know, doing things, which I think our way is different. The ways that we've done things, from how we recruit to the people that we're looking for to associate ourselves with on our staffs and all that, is, I think it's unique and different. And I think a lot of those guys probably, you know, appreciate, you know, even the players of, you know, the whole built for life philosophy that we've had over the years, that this game is, you know, this program, our programs have been more than just football, much more. I mean, football to us is always a platform to do other things and to connect to other people and play elite football for sure. But if we're just all about football and football only, we're missing the mark. I think I always tell our player, you know, our lives are too important. My life's too important to just be about football. And it needs to be about a lot more than just football, our program. And I think our guys get that and appreciate it. And I think some of those guys that have heard that message get that and, you know, maybe want to go into coaching and try to make an impact besides the game of football.
Curious, Coach, do you think Boise State, if ever given the opportunity, could compete in a bigger conference? I mean, you saw what TCU did going to the Big 12. I mean, you've obviously played at the highest level now and seen what it takes. I mean, if given a shot, do you think a school like Boise State could succeed in one of the so-called power leagues?
I think it all comes down to money. It just really does. It's just like how much money are you willing to put into the program and pay coaches and increase recruiting budgets and, you know, how much support are they going to fill up the stadium and can you increase the stadium? I mean, that's what the teams like. That's what TCU has done. You know, that's what Utah has done. And if, you know, Boise's willing to do that, there's no doubt in my mind that they can compete. But I think, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to resources and are people willing to step up to move the needle there in terms of that. And that's a big ask. And they did it in Salt Lake and they did it in TCU. And there's no doubt you could do it in Boise, Idaho as well, as long as a lot of people wanting to step up and try to, you know, move the needle there again.
Okay, Coach, a couple fun ones here before I let you go. What's your favorite sports movie?
Sports movie. Yeah. Well, that's a great question. You're going to catch me off guard because I'm going to say something and then have to come back later. You know, I like Remember the Titans.
Okay.
I was just watching Blindside last night. So, you know, all those are pretty good.
Who is the best motivational speaker you've ever had come speak to your team? I'm throwing you off here.
Yeah.
Anybody good that stands out to you, just gave a memorable speech or something all over the years? Or,
you know, we have speakers speak to our team, but about different topics, not football.
Sure.
And we've had some really good guys outside of the football realm come talk to us. But in terms of football, we're usually pretty particular. I would have to say probably some ex-players have come back and give some really passionate speeches, throughout the days. And, I mean, but other than that, we probably keep the outside speakers to a minimum.
Is there a coach in another sport that you admire? Are there coaches you look up to, like a Bill Belichick or maybe a Greg Popovich or somebody in another sport that you kind of admire, and whether it be for leadership qualities or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Roy Williams at North Carolina and Coach K at Duke, the basketball coaches. Popovich, Steve Kerr. I mean, I love watching those guys, you know, paying attention to what they're all about. I think their psychology of the game is and life is really, really interesting. I like looking, you know, out at the other sports, and seeing what's out there, how they do it different. And there's a lot of the football coaches that I admire. I've got to know Pete Carroll since being over here, and I really admire him, as well as Belichick. And I think that those guys are completely different in their styles and their programs, and how cool that is that they both have, like, ultra success with different styles.
And I know you're going to probably say what you want to coach at Washington forever until you retire, but could you ever see yourself coaching in the NFL?
I always thought I was going to coach at Boise State forever. I really did. But I was always very careful to say, you know, we live year to year in this whole thing. And it was hard as heck to leave Boise. It really was. All my buddies would say, it's going to take dynamite to get him out of there. You know, I guess dynamite came. And so I don't necessarily see that NFL thing, but you know how it goes. You never say never because things change rapidly.
And final thing, Coach, I may be putting you on the spot here again, but everyone looks at the Statue of Liberty as like the play, but was there ever a play, whether it be at Washington or BSU or maybe even before BSU, your favorite play you either called yourself or that one of your teams ran, that whether just because of where you found it from and it was just a cool play in a random September game or whether it be in a big game, was there ever a play that like was just the coolest one that stood out to you?
Well, again, we don't have enough time to talk about that because we are the best Pirates out there. I mean, I don't think we ever came up with an original play. We saw it from somebody else. And I love talking to the old coaches. They're like, yeah, we ran that defense back in 1940, whatever. And sure enough, they did, with that play. And so I like, we like creativity and, whether it's a fake reverse or, a double pass, it's all those types of things. Like I said, we've operated like that for a long, long period of time. The old Statue of Liberty and you know, the hook and ladder and all that stuff. They all just happened to get called on that huge, big stage and work. So, you know, those are the famous ones. But we've won a lot of games, you know, doing a lot of these other maybe subtle, wing T type plays, reverses, double reverses, throwbacks to the quarterbacks. And everybody likes to, you know, players love to play, execute those plays. So I don't think there's one. I like them all.
Well, I think the one that the fourth down play that the Eagles scored in the Super Bowl, that was the exact same play that, like, Ohio ran in, like, October or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, that's the greatest play ever. And it's like, well, yeah, that play's been around 25 years. You know, it's just somebody recycling and, you know, a play, putting their little window dressing on it and going from there.
Well, Coach, just, you know, for fans listening, I guess, you know, just kind of wrap this up. I believe you might even still have a place in the area, but just what, you know, from afar, I guess, now that you're at Washington, what would you just kind of, your I guess, general thoughts just on BSU and the fan base and the program and where it's at and where, you know, what it'll always, I guess, you know, mean to you moving forward?
Yeah, what an awesome place, and some of the greatest, most passionate fans around. And I mean that sincerely. I mean, I see people all over, and they'll say, "Coach P," and I'll think they're Washington people, and they're like, "I'm a Boise fan," or "I've always loved Boise." I get that as much as, you know, Washington. And so it's awesome, the unique following the Boise State has. And, you know, I always say, you know, it's no different over here when I tell our fans, if you want to make a difference, bring people to the games, pack the stadiums. And I would say the same thing to the Boise fans. You know, get your neighbor. You know, get people to come to the games. I mean, that's when it's game-changing to the players, is when those, you know, Albertson Stadium is packed and they're cheering, and it's like there's nothing better. And it's such a passionate football place in Boise, Idaho, that, you know, that's my message, is keep coming to those games. I know how convenient it is to sit home and watch that thing on TV. But, you know, it can be harder when it's 20 degrees and at 8 o'clock at night, but that's when the team needs you the most. Go to the games.
Well, there you have it, Chris Peterson. Great stuff. Almost 30 minutes of his time, and we really appreciate Coach Pete giving us his time here on the Bronco Legends podcast as the Washington Huskies are into spring ball, just as Boise State is. And I thought what he was talking about, the game in 2015, saying it was miserable, the worst game he's ever been a part of, having to come back to Boise State and coach, I thought that was very interesting stuff, you know, just having to think about going up against those players and that he recruited and was in their home with their families and having to play against them back in Boise so soon after leaving. I just thought that was some great stuff. It was all great stuff. And again, please subscribe, rate, comment on the podcast, iTunes, Google Play. Just search Bronco Legends Podcast. You can listen to all of our episodes there. Brian Harsin in week one, now Chris Peterson in week two. Kellen Moore is our guest in week three. A lot of great interviews. They're going to keep coming. So blueturfsports.com, the podcast page there is the way you can find it. All your other Boise State news and information at blueturfsports.com as well. Appreciate you for checking out the Bronco Legends podcast. Really excited about where this thing is headed. We do have some sponsorship opportunities available. If you are a business or advertiser and you're interested in sponsoring, we have some great low rates. Jump on board and help keep this podcast possible. You can just send me an email if you'd like at bjraines, R-A-I-N-S, at idahopress.com. Again, bjraines, R-A-I-N-S, at idahopress.com. Appreciate you for checking out the podcast today. Hope you have a great week, folks. We'll be back with Kellen Moore next week. We're rolling here at the Bronco Legends podcast at blueturfsports.com. My name is BJ Raines. Have a great day, folks.